Father, I pray, Lord, now that you'll continue to be with us as we feed off your word. And I just pray that praise will spring forth from our hearts and our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today is an all-age service. I'm going to need some help from children in a moment. The creche facilities are at the back, so if your kids are getting a little bit sort of tired and restless, then please use the facilities at the back. But I hope they will be part of the service. Jesus said, bring the little children to me. So we welcome the children. We never see you as a burden. You are a gift and you are a joy and a blessing. So you're very much part of this service as much as the older generations. Now, children, at Sunday school for the last few weeks, the adults see you go in there, and maybe the parents know, but some of the adults think, what on earth are you doing there? It gets a bit quieter for a few moments, and they go, and then they come back, and there's a bit of rowdiness when biscuit time. What do they do in this 30-minute window? Now, children, hands up, and please, you can stand up and tell the church what you've been studying the last few weeks in Sunday school. It's a special word beginning with M. Miracles of God, Jesus. Yes, well done. Now, who was listening these last few weeks? Hands just one at a time. Please tell the church about one miracle you've learned about Jesus. Come on, stand up and shout.
A person was blinded and Jesus healed.
Yes! Nice. The blind can see in the name of Jesus. Any more? Keep them coming.
Someone has an evil spirit in them and Jesus took it out.
Amen. And put it in the pigs, yes. He turned water into wine, yes. Any more? Can anyone think of anything? It's a miracle of Jesus. Can you think of anything? Have a little think and come back. Feeding of the 5,000. What a miracle. What a miracle. Can you think of a miracle? Can you think of a miracle? Brilliant. When Jesus told the storm to go away. Well done. Yes. High five for that. Yes. Good. Jesus healed the blind. He put mud in the eyes. Amen. Two more. He did what, sorry? He defeated the army. He blinded the army. Yes. Well done. Right. Big boys. Jesus walked on water. Yes, Jesus walks on water. Next time you're at K2, have a go at doing that. Who else walked on water?
Peter,
yes. One more, last one. Who hasn't done one yet? Yes, he has. One more. He hasn't done one. Tell me a miracle. Can you think of a miracle? Are you cheating? No conferring. Can you think of a miracle Jesus did?
I've got no.
Right, one more. Oh, right, this is impressive. He hasn't even been in Sunday school here for the last few weeks, but if you could tell us one, go on.
He raised from dead to life.
He raised from dead to life, yes. And he prayed for someone who... He was dead and he raised him to life. Who was it?
Dorcas!
Lazarus and?
Dorcas!
Yes! Well done. Now, you missed out one miracle. You missed out one miracle, children. Right, you missed that one miracle. How many children were standing on the stage singing? How many verses did we sing out?
Ten.
Who can think? Hands up, no shouting. This is not a football match. Hands up. Who can think of a miracle involving the number 10? And it doesn't have to be with the children. 10 lepers. Ting! It was right. Yes. Well done. So we're going to read Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 927. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. We're going to read this, and this is true, this is fact, this happened, it's not a myth, it's not even a parable, this happened, amen? So Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 to 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. They were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except for this foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go, your faith has made you well. Amen. So, Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Jesus heals now. Jesus does miraculous now. All wonders we read about in the Word of God, God can do today. He can do tomorrow. If you're in desperate situations, don't think God was different then. I have to go through all these trials and I can't profit from God's healing. I can't profit from God's miraculous. I can't profit from God intervening. That's a lie. He can help you today. Amen. Now, these people, how many were there? 10. Were full of leprosy, a horrible skin disease. It's so bad that people shone away from people with leprosy. They had to live in different parts of the village and the community. Some down in big pits, sort of completely away, because people were scared of getting this skin disease. It was horrible. So not only were you suffering from the pain, you had become an outcast. You couldn't go to the shops. You couldn't go to do all the normal stuff. How bad would that must have been? It was a double whammy. You're sick and no one wants to talk to you. Thank goodness God. There's no outcasts with God. There's no outcasts. He didn't say, whoa, 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 I'll talk to you through a messenger. He just spoke to the 10 lepers. Never believe you're an outcast. Never believe you're not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. God wants fellowship with all of us. Amen? Now, Jesus sometimes seeks things from us before the miraculous. And it's faith and obedience. Jesus gave the 10 lepers an instruction. In the Old Testament, and I'm not going through it now, if you look up Leviticus 14, I suggest you don't read that when you've just got a 2 minute spare, have a bit of time to read it. Leviticus 14, and it talks about the whole instructions God gave Moses around the cleansing for people who had leprosy. If they were healed, they had to go through all sorts of instructions, rituals to confirm the cleansing. So these people hadn't been healed yet. Jesus said, go to the priest. So in effect, the guys who had leprosy must have thought, why am I going to the priest and not being healed? But they did the first instruction well. They followed the instruction. Sometimes God wants to see our faith, to see our obedience. Sometimes the miraculous happens when we start walking in faith. He didn't heal him and say, then go to the priest. He said, go. They walked to the priest in their state of leprosy. Sometimes you may have to walk in faith in the state of your unemployment, the state of your sickness, the state of your relationships being poor, the state of just depression, the state of circumstances being beyond your control. God may just say, go do something, and you're thinking, why? My situation is dire. I want it to be sorted out now, God, then I'll walk. God does things completely reverse, upside down. So if God says to you today, walk, don't look at the circumstances. Walk in faith. And what happened, I've read this a few times, loads of times. When I read this, when I originally read it, I assumed that the 10 lepers went to the priest and they were healed. But when I reread it, I don't believe that happened. I think they got healed on the way. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice. I believe this chap was walking to the priest. Probably people were seeing they were lepers and they were walking away. And they were walking to the synagogue to see the priest. And all of a sudden he thought, whoa, 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 I can see my skin. Whoa! Forget about going to the priest. I'm going to run back to Jesus. And he ran back. I believe that's what happened. So God, you may be going through situations now which are scary, worrying, thinking, where is God in this? Read his word. Pray, pray, pray. You may be, these lepers may be lepers from birth, maybe for years, thinking, when is this going to happen? They came across Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. They're probably thinking, well, I heard in stories in villages getting healed straight away. Why is my healing not happening? Why is he telling me to go and see the priest? I don't want to see the priest. I want to see him. But they did it in faith anyway. They walked. They were desperate. And they walked in faith and obedience. The miraculous happened. I encourage you, walk in faith. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Sometimes you have to reach the final destination, but sometimes God just intervenes at the very moment we need him. Now, I'm just going to get to the heart of this short message now. How many lepers were there? Ten. Ten people healed. How many people do you think went back and praised God? Yes, did we? Only one. They are walking, thinking, I can't wait to see this priest. I can't wait to get healed. I've been full of this skin for years. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I can start to see the colour of my skin again. Only one thought, hang about. God's just brought me healing. I'm going to run back to my master. They shouted master before. And I'm just going to worship him and thank him so much for what he's done. Only one. 10%. 10% out of the 10 did it. We don't know what happened to the other 9. Sometimes we can get so desperate for the thing we want. It's the desperation's bigger than the person behind the miracle we want it from. Sometimes we can get so desperate for the thing we're seeing, we're forgetting the person behind the miracle we're praying to. God wants our hearts devoted to him, not our circumstances we are so focused on. This guy had the right heart. He was a foreigner. He wasn't even part of the community. In those days, they were like he was a double outcast. He was a Samaritan and a leper. Whoa. You could not get lower in society. But he ran back to his master, and the Lord welcomed him. I want us to be a church, a people with thanksgiving, springing forth from our heart. You've heard the scriptures, which were beautifully read by everyone. It's in a commandment, it's an instruction, it's a lifestyle, how we thank God. I just want to give you a very quick warning about the dangers of not being thankful to God. In home groups, we've been reading Romans, haven't we? Quite a sobering book, the first sort of section of the book. Talk about, reminding us about walking in righteousness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they're without excuse." We see the glory of God everywhere. There's no excuse who's behind them. "Because although they knew God," this is quite worrying, friends, we need to take it in. "They knew God, they did not glorify God." You may know God today, but are you glorifying God? "Nor were they thankful." Only 10% of those healed lepers had a thankful heart. And what happens when we don't have a thankful heart? "They became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into a changed image like corruptible man." That's what an unthankful heart does. You can go from knowing who your God is to all the way down the path of creating a daft little idol and worshipping it, thinking that's God. We should have praise and thanksgiving on our heart. God has called us to be a church of impact. Next Thursday, we're going to have a day of, in the evening, the home groups are going to come together, and we're going to just have a reminder of what the vision is of the church, and we're going to have a bit of an information evening. All are welcome. You will know, hopefully you do, if you don't now, you will do next week, that part of our impact is to adore Jesus with passionate praise and worship. Adoring Jesus with passionate praise and worship. Now, children, do you think we should praise and worship God just on Sundays? Yes or no?
No!
No! I'm going to be talking about the barometer of the church on Thursday. Who knows what a barometer is? A barometer or a thermometer? Thermometer. Yes, well done. It tells the temperature of the room. My lounge is always about 25, 26. And I'm sat there in my shorts and t-shirt and it's cold outside. It tells the temperature. What is the temperature of our hearts being a church of impact? I want you to use your imagination now. If you can imagine a little check sheet and Monday, it's got the days of the week and it's got a thankful and praising heart. Monday, blank. Tuesday, blank. Wednesday, blank. Thursday, 10 minutes. Friday, blank. Saturday, listen to one CD song. Sunday, come in and sang five songs. What do you think the thermometer will be saying about our heart of praise and worship? If 10 is red hot and 0 is cold, where do you think our hearts would be? Give me a number. 2. Higher or lower? 1. 5?
99.
Minus 99, yes. It wouldn't be very hot, would it? I want us to examine our hearts. If you've got a computer, Who's got a computer at home? Or an iPad? Or a phone? This is where the teenagers come out. You got a phone? You got a phone? Wow! Whoa! I'm coming to your house next Christmas. That is cool. Wow! Yeah. Parents, hearts in mouth time when it's all age services. What are they going to say? Laptops, phones. On the screen, do the words just happen? What happens? You have to press the buttons. Well done. Or if you're really technical into your savvy.
Or you hack it.
You hack it. Whoa. It's all coming out now. You hack it. Hacking involves your fingers. I'll be having a chat with his dad later. What's he teaching him? What sort of after-school club is he going to? Or if you're really savvy or lazy, there's now these things called Siri or Ask Alexa, whoever that is, where you can talk it and your screen comes out with the words. But without your fingers or your mouth to say, Alexa, order me some new baked beans, please. The media is not going to have the control. It's a little bit like praise and worship. This, just like the fingers are connected to the keyboard, this here, my tongue, this weird looking bit of meat, it's got a kind of special thread to this, my heart. If my heart is not for Jesus, if my heart is really all for Mark, if my heart is all for the world and what I can get out of it, if my heart is full of selfishness, then it's very difficult for this thing to just suddenly send a signal to this, to spring forth praise. Because the computer code's not right. And it's the same with this. If my thoughts aren't connected to a pure heart, then my thoughts aren't going to be pure. I pray that all of us start to allow God to take full control of our heart. Because when we do, and our heart becomes completely sold out for Jesus, you'll be amazed how much thanksgiving comes from your mouth. Church, I'm not saying this to whack you on the head and beat you up. I want you to go away and examine, what does your imaginative checklist look like? Don't turn it into a ritual and I've got to sing 10 songs tonight just to sort of make Ma happy. Because that's the wrong attitude. Praise and worship should be springing forth. New songs, psalms. We should just be letting our heart govern our praise and worship. I praise God for that one leper. Jesus welcomed. Your faith made you well. And I imagine that man who was healed was praising God forevermore. It's sad that 9 choose not to. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've still got the power to heal today. Father God, if any are sick, any who are afflicted today, we pray you bring healing where healing is needed, Jesus. Father God, if any are weary and are just walking in circumstances beyond their control, in desperation, leading almost to dark depression, I pray, Lord, you'll intervene right now, Lord Jesus. Father God, if situations aren't whole, we pray you'll make situations whole in your name. Father God, may your miraculous wonders be manifested amongst your body, Lord, not for our glory, but for yours, Jesus. May it be gossiped in the streets of Crawley. What an amazing God you are. Father God, the destitute found a heavenly Father. Father, I pray that we will be like that one soul leper who didn't run with the crowd. He turned back and dedicated his praise and worship to you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you will turn up the thermometer of our hearts for you, Jesus. That our hearts will be fashioned for you and not the world. That we will begin to die to self. We will begin to pick up our cross on a daily basis. And Father God, we will surrender all praise. Even when we're tired, we'll offer up sacrifices of praise to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, may our houses and may this house be a house of prayer and worship in the name of Jesus. Father God, because you deserve the glory and you deserve the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.